Well, today we continue our sermon series in the larger catechism, and we are getting near the end. It's hard to believe. Question 193. Isn't that amazing? And it's been years, hasn't it? I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but I imagine when I talk to the elders, they'll probably want me to do it again. So maybe we'll do shorter catechism or something like that next time, but we'll see. I'm praying about that now, and I'll be talking to them this week. But today, as we continue, we come to the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And you'll notice something with that petition, that there's a change here that occurs in the word your that's used in the first three petitions. Speaking of God, your kingdom and your name and your will be done, to the word our. Now we're looking for our daily bread and for God to keep us from temptation, deliver us from evil, and for Him to forgive us for our sins. So the first three petitions are focused on, we're in a sense praying for God, for His name, for His kingdom, for His will. And then in the last three, we're praying for ourselves, for our daily bread, our forgiveness, and for us in temptation. So we pray first for the matters that pertain to God, and secondly for matters that pertain to us. And that is instructive to us about prayer. That in itself is instructive. I mentioned that when we were doing the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, but as we have come to that transition now, I wanted to mention it again. It's the same emphasis, isn't it, that we find in the Ten Commandments. You know that the first four commandments talk about our duty to God. Okay, that we're to have no other gods before Him, no images of Him, not to take His name in vain, and to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those all are about our love to God. And then the last six commandments are about our duty to one another, loving our neighbor. Right? The honor your father and mother, and not to kill, not to steal, not to bear false witness, and not to covet. So those pertain to the horizontal relation. And again, the emphasis you see is there with the priority. Jesus said it was a priority. The great commandment is to love the Lord your God. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So this is an order that we find all the way through Scripture, and it ought to show up in our prayers. Often we err in one way or the other. Either we just pray. We come to God and we say, oh God, I need this, give me this, give me this, help me with this and do this and all of that. Or we come and we say, you know, oh God, you are so great, and we pray about that, and we never pray for our daily bread. And people can err in either one of those directions. The Lord's Prayer brings us to the focus that we need to be praying in both of these areas, but with a priority for the things of God. Now, I want to point out, though, that we should not become so zealous praying for the first three petitions that we neglect the last three petitions that pertain to our needs. The truth is that unless we have our daily bread, forgiveness of sins, and preservation from temptation, then we will be in no position to ourselves contribute to the honor of God's name and the promotion of His kingdom and obedience to His will. So, you see, we need to pray these things even that we might have the first three things. So with that in mind, let's move on to take a closer look here at the fourth petition. First, I want to look at what the Westminster Larger Catechism says, and then we'll have our scripture reading after that. So look with me at question 193. If you have the handout outline, then you have it there before you. If you need to get it, there's some over on the table there. Also, there's some larger catechisms there. But question 193, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? And the answer is, in the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit or by our own industry to procure them, but prone to desire, get, and use them unlawfully, we pray for ourselves and others that both they and we waiting upon the providence of God from day to day in the use of lawful means, may, of His free gift, and as to His fatherly wisdom shall seem best, enjoy a confident portion of them, and have the same continued and blessed unto us in our holy and comfortable use of them, and contentment in them, and be kept from all things that are contrary to our temporal support and comfort. So that's quite a mouthful. I'm not going to go through all of those things in detail as we look at this particular question. But I do want to, we'll be touching on most of what's in there. And I want to move on now to our scripture reading related to this subject. You may have noticed that in our scripture readings, I've often been choosing scripture readings that are sort of an expansion on the one verse we're looking at in the Lord's Prayer, or the one portion of a verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, there's a larger expansion of that in Proverbs 30. And that's what I want to look at, Proverbs 30, verse 1 through 9. It's kind of an expansion of the fourth petition, a larger version of it. So listen now as I read to you, because this is the Word of God, Proverbs 30, beginning in verse 1. The words of Eger, the son of Jacob, his utterance, the man declared to Ithiel and Ucal, surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And there we end the reading of God's word. May he bless his word. May it edify us and help us as we serve him. You can see in this passage that Eger recognizes his weakness. He realizes that he has nothing apart from the Lord. He speaks of the folly of trying to modify God's commandments. Say, oh, I think we need to add this to what God has said. Or, I don't think this is a good one here. We need to take this one away. This is a bad commandment here in the Word of God. He says it stirs up God's just anger and it makes us a liar when we do that. But he also recognizes his dependence on God for his daily needs, not only for instruction, okay, for God's commandments, but also for his daily needs, that God would be the one that would determine what was best for him. We always want to take that on ourselves, don't we? I know what I need. No, we don't know what you need. God knows what you need, and you need to leave it in his hands. Just as you are incompetent to add commandments alongside of God's commandments or to take away commandments alongside of God's commandments, so you're incompetent to know what is the portion that is right for you from day to day. You see, it's not in your province. So therefore, Eger is content to leave it to God to decide what is best. Unlike many people today, too, Eger is not only concerned about having too little, but he's also concerned about having too much so that it would cause him to forget God and make him to feel that he's self-sufficient. He knows the dangers of his own heart. Having too much has caused many professing saints and nations to apostatize from God. And Eger doesn't want that. He is essentially praying, give me this day my daily bread. Long before Jesus ever taught us to pray that, Eger was already praying that. Well, let's turn now and look at the actual content of this fourth petition with that scriptural, that introduction from Eger. We're going to run across some of those themes as we do look particularly at the fourth petition. I want you to consider with me what we are asking for in the fourth petition when we say, give us this day our daily bread. We're going to look at three key components in this petition. First, you see that it is daily bread that you are to ask for, or I should say, daily bread that you're asking for. Bread is a basic staple in our diets. It's a basic staple in most people's diets all around the world. And as it is used here, it stands for all of the things that we need for the support of our bodies in order to live. Certainly, it refers to food and water, but it also refers to things like clothing and a place to live, things of that nature. Really, our daily bread is what we call our living, you know, what we have to live on in this world. You know how we talk about people making a living? Well, that's the idea of daily bread here. The living is what we pray for when we pray for our daily bread. But that's not all that's included here. By extension, praying for our daily bread also includes praying for those things that we use to obtain our daily bread. God has appointed it as a general rule that we should obtain our living by labor. The Bible says, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. Now, of course, there are disabled people and there are elderly people who cannot work and they obtain their daily bread in other ways. And it doesn't necessarily have to be either that you're out at a job from 9 to 5. There's those who work in the home, those who care for their children at home, things like that. There's all sorts of different things that we might do. And most of the people that Jesus would have been speaking to, they would have worked on farms and things like that, or as fishermen, or things where they weren't necessarily working for someone in an office somewhere as we so often do today. But for many of you, praying that you will be able to make a living involves praying that you will be able to find a suitable job, something that you can do, and that you will have the health and strength to do that job or whatever work you have, that you will have the wisdom to know how to provide a living, that God will give you success in the work, that He will provide for you through it, that you will be diligent so that you can provide well for yourself and your household. See, there's a whole array of things that we pray for. Laziness can be more destructive to the wealth of your household than sickness or disease. In Deuteronomy 8:18, the Lord impressed upon His people that He is the one who not only gives them wealth, but also the power to get wealth. Your ability to work is from the Lord, so you need to pray for that ability as well as for what you get is in the way of provision. And there are other things you need to pray for that have to do with obtaining a living. For example, if you own a milk truck and your business is to deliver milk to people, then and your truck breaks down, you need to pray for a new truck. That's part of praying for your daily bread, praying for the tools. So praying for our daily work might involve praying that you will be able to find the new milk truck when yours has died. And if you're a farmer, you pray for things that pertain to your crops, protection from storms, for rain, such things. You're depending upon God. That is your living, you see, in those crops, in that field. And if you're a young adult and you want to be a rocket scientist, then you need to pray that you'll do well in school and that you'll be able to get into school where you can study rocket science. And all the competition. So you see that praying for daily bread involves much more than just praying for bread. It involves praying that you'll have a living and that you'll have the means to have a living. But now I want to add one more thing that's legitimate to pray for in this context. In praying for your living, you can pray for more than your mere necessities. It is true that if God wants you could survive off of bread and water for a long, long time. But as Agur even shows us, it's okay to pray that if God is pleased, you'll have more than just bread and water. We have to guard here between going in the way of the prosperity gospel on the one hand and going in the way of the poverty gospel on the other hand. God does not call us to material poverty necessarily. The Lord is very gracious and He delights in giving us all things richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. He does it all the time. In the first place, just look at the things that He made. Not only water, but also wine. Not only bread, but also steak and oranges and all kinds of seasonings. Why did God make seasoning? Why did He make cayenne pepper? Why did He make cumin? Why did He make all of these things? Not only ordinary stones, but diamonds and rubies. Why did He do that? He promised to give Israel a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Proverbs speaks about how the wise man has precious treasures in his house. Indeed, you must beware of covetousness. It's a huge problem. And even if you have nothing but food and clothing, then you are to be content with that. If you're not sharing with those who have need, or if you're not giving your tithe, then there's a problem of covetousness on your part. Also, if you're not thankful for what you do have, very thankful for what you have, then there's a problem with covetousness and you need to repent. But the Bible does not condemn wealth itself. And it is right for a man like Job to pray for his herds and flocks. Like, should Job, was it okay for him to pray for the protection of his herds and flocks? Of course it was. It was his duty to pray for them. Even he didn't just have to pray, in other words, for bare bread and water when he had all of these other things to pray for. It's also okay for people that they'll be able to pray that they'll have a car that works in order to carry their children around or even to go on a vacation. You see, these things are not sinful. Indeed, you can pray for things that are for sheer employment. Don't let the Greek philosophers rob that from you and say that it's evil. You can decorate your home. You can collect art and music if you have the means, if God has given you the means. You can enjoy these things if God is pleased to provide them. There was a tendency in Jesus' day to assume that the rich were automatically good because they were rich. Look how God has blessed them. That was the tendency. The tendency in our day is to automatically assume that if a man has wealth, then he must be an evil man and he's cheated people or he wouldn't be in that position. But the Bible recognizes four categories. That you can be rich and wicked, like Nabal. You can be rich and godly, like Job. You can be poor and wicked, like the lazy man in Proverbs who won't work. Or you can be poor and godly, like the widow who had the two mites that she put into the temple treasury. The truth is that all of us in our society are actually quite rich compared to the rest of the world. We have far more than food and clothing, and everyone has food as our daily portion. We have hot and cold running water coming right into our houses, right where we live. We have flush toilets. We even have telephones and things like that. Did you know that over half of the world's population has never even spoken on a telephone in their whole life? We are living in luxury, people. But that does not mean that it's wrong for you to have a phone, unless you can't afford it. And then you need to be content. The truth is that in our society, it would hinder our service to God in our ordinary service not to have a phone, maybe, not to have certain things that you use for your work. So it's legitimate for us to pray for those things. Of course, again, if God is not pleased to provide it for you, then you need to rejoice in His wisdom that withholds it. But if He provides it, give thanks to Him, ask Him to bless it, ask Him to continue to provide. And that leads to the next thing that I want to show you that we ask for in this petition, that we ask for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, not somebody else's. Note the word our. That's the word that I want to focus on next. That means that you are to ask God for what is right for you, that you may best know and serve the Lord and then trust Him to give you what is best, that He has given you what is best. That brings us back to Augur's prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, my daily portion. Not the food allotted to someone else, not the rich guy over on the hill, not the poor guy over here, but my portion. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You're to ask God in His wisdom to measure out to you what is best for you, that you might do the most important thing of all. Honor and glorify God. The most important thing you can do with your substance, whatever it is to honor and glorify God with it. Tell God that if riches are going to hinder you from serving Him, and they often do hinder people, then say, I don't want those riches. And if poverty is going to hinder you and be too much for you to bear, then tell God, I don't want that either. But be willing to be stretched by God if He is pleased to stretch you in either direction. If you're being stretched with poverty, don't demand more. God wants you to learn to deal with that poverty, and His grace will be sufficient to you. The Scripture teaches that it is possible to learn how to live either without or with an abundance. Paul testified that he had learned that. I have learned, he said in Philippians 4:11, in whatever state I am in, to be content. I know how to be abased. Okay, he knew how to sit in a prison with hardly any food. And I know how to abound. He knew how to dine with rich people and to stay with them for a time. Everywhere and in all things, he says, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And you can learn how to live with your daily portion that you pray for. The truth is that he will give you more or less than you can. He will not give you more or less than you can bear if you belong to him. And if you ever think that he has given you more or less than what you can bear, then look to his grace to teach you, because he hasn't. Insists that he either give you the grace to bear it or that he give you either more or less. And if you find that riches are making you apathetic about the things of God, even if it's just riches of that I was talking about that we all have in our society, like, you know, a phone or computer games or whatever, then you might need to get rid of some things. And you also need to ask God to help you to rightly use the things that he has given you, that you may enjoy him in it. Possessions can draw you to God or they can draw you away from God. You have to be very alert, very watchful in this, because riches have a way of making you numb, you know, so that you don't even notice the condition of your heart. It lulls you to sleep. But do not insist on having or not having. Leave the matter in God's hands. Give me what is right for me, my daily portion, our daily bread. Now, another thing, though, with this word our, praying for our daily portion also points to the fact that it's plural. So you're praying, you are praying for other people. I said before, we don't pray for someone else's daily portion. I meant that we don't pray for it for ourselves, but we do pray that so-and-so will have his daily portion and that so-and-so will have her daily portion. If you're stealing part of your daily portion by cheating people or by lying or by gaining wealth through illegitimate work like prostitution or something like that, then it's no longer your daily bread. It's somebody else's daily portion. You can't sincerely pray for your daily bread until you repent of ill-gotten gain. If you truly are putting yourself in the Lord's hands and under his care, then you have to come by what you have honestly. The same can be said if you're withholding your tithe. How can you ask the Lord to give you your daily portion when you're supplementing your daily portion with his portion? You see, that doesn't work. Don't ask for him to bless you what you have if you're not doing what he has called you to do with what he's given you. Now let's move on to a third component of this prayer. What is meant when he says, this day, give us this day our daily bread? Well, first of all, this is a reminder that you do not need to fret about tomorrow. We are to look to the Lord's provision each day and leave tomorrow in his hands. Jesus tells us at the end of Matthew 6 that when he says not to worry about tomorrow, because today has enough trouble of its own. Matthew Henry, I like the way he talks about that. He says that the Lord is telling us not to burden ourselves. Okay, you've got plenty to bear today, and so you don't need to torture yourself and burden yourself by adding tomorrow's cares and tomorrow's problems. You deal with today. Be prepared for what might reasonably happen tomorrow. That's prudence. That's wisdom. To use an obvious example, it's wise to store up crops during the harvest in the wintertime during the harvest time, because you know that winter's coming. And to obtain warm clothes and boots for the winter, because you know that it's coming. That's not worrying about tomorrow. That's providing with wisdom for tomorrow. But it's quite another thing to be so anxious about what might happen that you cannot focus on what you need to be doing today. There are 1,000 things that could happen, that might happen, and you cannot possibly be prepared for them all. In the end, you need to trust God for provision for today. Secondly, praying for bread for this day helps you to guard against presumption. It's very easy for you to look and see, hey, I got food in my cupboards, I got money in the bank, I got a job. Why should I pray for my bread today? I've already got it. I don't need to be praying for that, because you don't know what a day may bring forth. You need to entrust that bread that is sitting in your cupboards, in your refrigerator, to God. He could send robbers to come through, and people could come and drag you out of your house. Your house could burn down. There's all sorts of things that could happen. You could become sick and unable to eat any of that food, to have any of that food. So we need to pray that in trusting God with these things. You pray for today's bread because you need to see that today's bread is not in your hands. It's always in God's hands. James warns you that you do not know what a day may bring forth. Each day you need to ask God to provide for you. Well, let's develop this a little further. This leads me to explore this a little further. Why do we need to ask God for our daily bread? Why does Jesus tell us to pray this prayer? Well, of course, the most basic reason is because we need bread. We need to have a living. This is quite basic. You need to have a living in order to live. You can't live without a living. God made us creatures that are dependent on many things for survival. And He is the provider of these things. So we need to ask that He would hand them to us from His hand. Because it comes from Him, you need to ask Him for it. You're acknowledging that that's so. You are here also, as I've mentioned, to serve God, and you are to desire that your life would be preserved, therefore, as long as God wants you here, that you would have provision you need to serve Him in the way that He wants as long as you are here. Sometimes when older people become infirm, they wonder why God keeps them alive. Why does He keep providing for me? They may not even want to be provided for. But you are here for God. Even if you can't do very much, God still uses you for His glory, even in having other people honor Him by taking care of you. Look, if you end up infirm in a nursing home, something like that, you can't do anything, maybe your children are taking care of you and they have to do everything for you, God is glorified through your life, through those people that are ministering to you. And so you need to say, this is the way that God has given me in order that He might be glorified and honored in the world. So you see, you put the matter of your daily bread in His hands. And so you don't say, Lord, don't want my daily bread anymore. But you ask Him, Lord, sustain me that I may serve You today. As long as you have breath, you continue to seek Him. Now, but you know as well as I do, and looking to God for our daily bread and recognizing that it all comes from His hand, that there are many unbelievers who never ask God for their daily bread. And yet they often have more than those who pray every day. So does it really make any difference whether we pray or whether we don't? I mean, a proud rich man will tell you, why don't you stop praying and go out and work? Now, that might be a proper admonition if you're being lazy. But if you're just praying normally, I mean, as you ought to pray, then a rich man, a proud man, will tell you that. If prayer makes a difference, shouldn't believers who pray for their daily bread be richer than everyone else? No. Forgetting something. What do we pray for when we pray for our daily bread? What did I already tell you? You pray like Agur. Not just for more riches, but for your daily portion that's right for you. And it might be that most people in your society have more riches than they can handle. So maybe when you pray that, it means you're going to have a limitation. And you know the truth is, believers often are blessed with riches, though. Over time, over the generations, as a society becomes more and more godly and they grow in the grace of the Lord, places where Christ's kingdom is first planted, believers are often persecuted in deep poverty. But almost always, after a few generations of godliness, as they begin to work hard and productively and apply biblical principles, they as a society begin to prosper. And they continue to do so, even after they turn away from God, which sadly they often do. But the primary reason for praying for daily bread is not just that you'll have more, but that you might entrust that matter to God. That's what you're doing. So don't say, well, I don't have any more than anybody else because I haven't been praying. It doesn't matter. The thing is, you have what God has given you. That's what you're looking for. By praying for our daily bread, we acknowledge that everything we have comes from His hand. Unless He gives it, we won't have it. So recognizing that everything we have comes from God does something else for us. Okay, as you pray this, it also has another benefit. It endears you to the Lord. You know, just like a puppy dog. If you have a dog, your dog likes you because you feed the dog. You can make friends with a dog. You find a stray dog and you feed him, the dog becomes your friend. Well, we're like dogs in that sense. If we realize that our food comes from the hand of our master, then we're going to thank him. If we don't pray for our food, it still comes from God, but we don't know it. We don't acknowledge it. We don't pay attention to it. And so we miss the blessing of eating out of God's hand, of loving the Lord our God who provides for us, who gave me this crust of bread that I had today so that I would not starve, whatever it is that he's given you. See, the unbeliever ought to acknowledge God, but by his lack of prayer, he virtually denies God as the provider. And so do you when you neglect to pray for your daily bread. The Lord warns you about forgetting that everything comes from him. He warns you about that in Deuteronomy. When you come into the land and you prosper, don't forget. You have everything from my hand. I already explained how prayer guards you against presumption, just assuming that you already have your bread and so you don't need to pray for it. You don't know what a day may bring forth. But as believers who have been saved from sin by God's grace, there is something else that you need to recognize as well. You need to recognize that you all, every one of you, every human being in the whole world has forfeited the right to even the smallest crust of bread. Understand, brothers and sisters, that when you are asking for your daily bread, you are asking for that which you in no way deserve. Not even daily bread. The Catechism puts this so plainly when it says that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited, given up our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us nor we to merit or by our own industry to procure them. Not only does it all come from God, but listen to me, it all comes from his mercy. It's not just from him, but it's what we do not deserve from him. Our prayers for our daily bread are really all that they are not all that they ought to be unless we understand that we're asking for what we don't deserve. If you think you're entitled, then you need to repent because you are not entitled. We have sinned against the Most High God. We're all guilty. Jacob was going to face Esau, whom he had cheated years before. And as he does, he realizes that only God can give him a living at this time. But he sees that he in no way deserves the living that he has already been given. But he prays earnestly for it, nevertheless, as he ought. Genesis 32:9. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of the mercies and all the truth which you have shown to your servant. Can you say that? I am not worthy of the least of your mercies that you have shown to your servant. He says, for I crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So often we live under the delusion that we deserve what we have. We do not deserve it from the hand of God. It is all of his mercy, and your gratitude is incomplete until you realize you don't deserve any of it. It's all his mercy. Promised mercy, but mercy. And that brings me then to the last point. Be sure that when you come to the Lord and you pray, give us this day our daily bread, that you come with a right attitude. When you come to ask for your daily bread, you need to come to God recognizing him as the kind, benevolent, gracious, merciful, giving Heavenly Father that he truly is. Just think, we rebellious, hard-hearted, fallen, stubborn, sinful creatures, and he provides us with an abundance of things every day. Just think of all the beauty in the world. Just think of all the extra things beyond what you need to survive. Why did He give things like music and art? Why do we have the gold and the precious stones? Why do we have the variety of foods that we enjoy and the ability to taste all those foods? It's all because He is so kind and so good. Even though we are fallen and completely undeserving, His goodness still shines through in the world. And where there is suffering, even the worst of suffering, you cannot complain. We can pray for relief, but we have no legitimate complaint because we're getting what we actually deserve. And sometimes the Lord is pleased to visit us with such suffering and to deprive us of health and blessing in this life for His purposes, as He did with Job. Not to punish him, not because of wrongs that he had done, but to test him. Don't complain, but use that to help you to come to terms with the fact that you really didn't deserve any of it. That's what Job said. I came naked, I go away naked. I didn't deserve any of this. Affliction helps you to see that when it gets taken away. So if God withholds the provision that you have now, the portion that you now enjoy, continue to praise Him. Continue to trust Him. He is so kind, so gracious. Sometimes you don't see that until He takes it away. And then you look back and you say, God has been so kind to me. Look at all these things that He gave me. I never deserved any of it. So come asking for your daily bread. Come thanking Him and trusting Him in His wisdom that knows what is always best concerning you. We ought to know this better than ever now that Jesus has come, that God knows what to do. I mean, He knew what He was doing when Jesus went to the cross. Everybody thought He didn't know what was going, what was Jesus doing? Why is He going to the cross? This is ridiculous. And God knew exactly what He was doing. Jesus knew exactly what He was doing. It's for our good. If things are withheld, trust in your Heavenly Father's goodness as well as His wisdom. We are only here for a time, and we need to accept our daily portion. When you come, secondly, when you come to ask for your daily bread, come remembering that you have pledged to live your life for Him. That means that whether it is a lot or a little, it is to be used for Him. If He gives you abundance, you're to receive it with thanksgiving. You're to be generous. You're to help those that are in need. You're to enjoy the blessings in a way that glorify God. If He gives you a hard living, honor Him by contentment. Show that you love Him, even though you don't have all the things that other people have. Give thanks to Him for what you do have, a lot of thanks, and truly believe that He has given you more than you deserve. I've often seen that those who have the least are the ones who are the most generous and who are the most thankful, which is an odd thing. Those who have more should be the most generous and the most thankful. But it's often those who have the least. But you know what? I have also seen the opposite. Those who have very little and that are very ungrateful for what they have. And those that have a lot and that are extremely grateful and extremely generous. The key here is to be enamored, so enamored with Jesus Christ that you want to do to glorify Him in whatever way you can. That my ambition is to glorify my Master. And so if He gives me a little bit, all I want to do with that little is glorify Him. If He gives me a lot, all I want to do with that is to glorify Him. Use whatever He gives you as a tool to honor and serve Him. It's great that you can simply commit your living to His hands and say, "You are my Master. I will serve You with the portion that You give me. Give me my daily portion, O Lord." Now, when you come to ask for your daily bread, the third thing in your attitude is you need to come remembering and caring for the needs of others. Pray that you will have an order to give to those who have need. Are you burdened for the poor? Well, don't just pray for the poor people to have provision, but pray that you will have provision to give to the poor. That's a good way to pray. Pray that the Lord will provide for you so you can help them. It's a good practice even to start a fund for the poor. You can lay up and then you can have pleasure in looking around and seeing where are there needs that I can meet. What are things I can assist with? It's a great blessing to go around looking for ways that you can bless someone. You should also pray that God will provide for those that have more than you. This is a real test. Remember that it's our daily bread that we're asking for. And it includes praying for those who have more than you. Now that can be hard. It's easy to pray for people that have less. But do you want to pray that God will provide for the person that has more than you? This is one way you can tell if envy is in control in your heart. Are you able to pray for the man with the six-figure income who lost his job that he will find another job with his six-figure income so he can continue to live in his daily portion that God has entrusted to him? Are you saying, I only have this job. Are you content with the fact that his living is bigger than yours? And can you pray for him in his daily portion, even as you pray for those who have less? So there you have three things that ought to be there when you come to God in this prayer. Come recognizing the goodness and kindness of God. Come leaving it to him to provide what you need to best serve him. And come remembering others who also need their daily portion in service to God. Isn't it great, in conclusion, isn't it great that Jesus tells us to put the matter of our daily bread into the hand of our Heavenly Father who loves us so much, who is so wise? If Jesus had not taught us to pray for this, we might be hesitant to pray for our daily bread. We might think, well, that's probably not important to God. But Jesus tells us that it does matter, that it is important. And he instructs us to pray for this. He truly knows what is best for us, and we can trust him to give it to us as we ask him to do so. So see that you do it. Please stand and let's call on the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust you as a loving, gracious, competent, wise, holy Heavenly Father. Father, you are so gracious and merciful to even give us anything when we have sinned against you. In Adam, we have all rebelled against you and we deserve nothing but cursing. And that's what we'll get in your justice apart from Jesus Christ. But we praise you that through Christ, that even those who don't know him have a living in this present world. That this world is being preserved at this time, that all might come to repentance. And Father, we pray that you would continue your mercy to us in the world as a whole, and that you will also continue your mercy to us as individuals. And Father, I pray for each brother and sister in this room, Father, that you would give each one of us our daily portion. And Father, help us to glorify you with that daily portion. I thank you for the example of some in our congregation who have more than others and who are very generous and gracious with what they have. I thank you for some in our congregation that have less than others and who are very content and patient and trusting you in that and thanking you. They're more grateful than those who have more many times. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that you would help all of us, though, because we know our own hearts and we know how easy it is for us to lose our focus and to forget that it is you who give us the power to get wealth, that it is you who give us our living. Help us also, O Lord, to be diligent, to work hard in providing that we may have for ourselves, for our families, and a portion to give to others as you give us capacity to do so. Father, we look to you. You are our God. We are here for you, Lord. We are here to glorify you. That's why you put us here. Teach us these things as we ask you, O Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing